While we remain standing, I'd like to offer our scripture lesson for the sermon. Please hear this once again, Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, cause your word to sink deeply into our hearing. May we fear you and walk in your ways. Be pleased to train us in these ways so that we may present to you hearts of wisdom. Bless us, Lord, with fear and with fruitfulness, and may we trust you for all things in the days to come. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus, and amen. You may be seated. All right. Question for you. What is the good life? What is the good life? We hear a lot of talk about that today. Hey, that's the good life right there. What's the good life? Let me make it a little more general. What is a good life? This is something, I mean, you're all alive. You're all experiencing life. What's a good life? What's a good life? There's a lot of talk about this. So, personally, what would you consider to be the good life? What would you consider to be a good life? No matter how old you are, here. What's a good life? What is the good life? I'm just wanting you to think about this right now. I don't want everybody to answer out loud at one time. Maybe later. What is the good life? Here's another question. Whatever this good life is, whatever a good life is or the good life is, would it change over the years? Would your understanding of whatever the good life is, whatever you really want, what you truly desire, what you think would be the best of the best of the best, would it change over the years? Or would it stay the same? Would it be fixed? Would it be pretty much the same thing throughout life? That's the good life. So here we are. Some of you in this room are 8 years of age. Are you 8? Okay. Some of you are not 8. Okay. I just figured that one out right here. I figured that one out just on the spot. Okay. Some of you are 8. Okay. So whether you're 8 or 17 or 29 or 31 or 46 or 61, do you think that what you thought was the good life, let's just say you're 27 right now, what you thought was the good life when you were 8, is it still what you think is the good life? Yeah, that's still what I want to do. What about those of you who are 31? You're thinking back to when you were 17. Now, some people pine. They're just peeling off. You know, those were the days. Those were the days. That was the good life. That was the pinnacle. That was the best. What is the good life? What is it? That's the question for you today. So what is the good life? All kinds of people get into this question. Philosophers and ethicists, psychologists and doctors, theologians and pastors, professors and bartenders, blog writers, athletes, politicians, and entertainers have chimed in and climbed upon this question, what is the good life, the good life? Or what is a good life? How would you answer that? Some people start with a distinction between this life. You asked what is the good life. I have to begin with this life. Some people will make a distinction. You can only answer that question by dealing with life as it now is. Other than that's distinct from people that will say, The good life is only in the life of the world to come. So they'll make a distinction between this life and the life to come. Never the twain shall meet. Strong break between them, chasm. They'll assert it's either one or the other. If you're going to talk about the good life, we got to talk about good life here and now. Or because they'll despise the here and now and they think all of this is dirty and messy and nasty, they'll say the good life only comes in the future. Another way of saying this is that the good life is of this world. The distinction is other people will say, no, the good life is only found in another world, or it's otherworldly. Here are some of the things you might have heard. Some people will say that the good life is found in the examination of life. You got to examine life. You want to have a good life? A life unexamined, you might hear, is a life not worth living. Where does that lead? The person that might say that might look at somebody and say, well, you're not able to examine life, so your life's not worth living. Discard, debris, get away. Or you can't, they're walking down the an unexamined life is not worth living. So then they'll say, well, you know, if you can't examine life as well as I examine life, well, then you're lesser. That's likely not what all the philosophers meant by that. But when they speak of an examined life, they'll say, you need to examine what life's all about. You need to get mastery of yourself and then make a contribution to the community. Two simple prongs on this fork. It's about yourself and it's about the civitas. It's about yourself and it's about the city. It's about yourself and it's about the community. That's what some people will say. To even get close to the good life, you have to be able to examine life. Others will say that the good life is found in wealth, honor, and bodily pleasure. Wealth, gain, honor, that which is given to you, and bodily pleasure, that which you are to go get. There it is. The gain, that which is to be given to you, and that which you are to go get, until you just can't go get anymore. Anybody say Augustine? Anybody say Manichae? Or more modern-day ideas? Well, some people will disagree with this, too. No. They'll say that's not the good life because all of those things, your gain, that which people give to you, and your going and getting of bodily pleasure, all of those things fade or wear out, or you'll change your heartbeat. Furthermore, some people will say those things are kind of animalistic. You have that in common with the animals. Animals do what they want to do, and they're going to get. Positive psychologists. Here we go. Some of them will say, it's about having the freedom to move in any direction. And they don't mean Ezekiel's wheels with the eyes looking in every... It's the freedom to move in any direction. So the positive psychologist will say, if you really want to understand the good life, you need to be able to move in any direction. Don't you dare put any restraints on me. Oh, then it gets more... They'll say this. It's about... And anytime you hear these days, anytime you hear the word authentic, fasten your seatbelt. The word authentic is coming up. It's about moving in the direction that is most authentic to us. How can you argue with that? Somebody says, I'm going to move and I'm going to go in the direction that's most authentic to me. I'm being authentic. Somebody challenges you and he says, hey, I'm just expressing myself. I'm just being authentic here. Bless you. One psychologist, by the way, this guy presents himself as he's a promoter of self-sovereignty. So you know what's coming. It's just going to be a doozy here. This is what he says about the good life. This is about living the good life, not just what the good life is, but you know, you can't just talk about the good life or a good life without getting into the good life. This is what he says, and I quote, living the good life is all about discovering your true passions and having the courage to pursue these activities. By doing what you're passionate about, a sense of fulfillment, accomplishment, and true satisfaction can be added to your life. Huh. What do you think about this? Philosophers, ethicists, psychologists, what is the good life? I'm asking you. How would you answer that question? What if we just said, okay, everyone just gather around and let's answer this question. What is the good life? What would you say? This evening at supper, you can ask your children, what would you say is a great life? You're going to be having a meal with one of your friends. You're going to say, what is the good life? A lot of talk about that these days. Is it getting your way? Is it going to fantasy land or indulging village? Is it doing whatever you want to do without any restraints at all? Some people might answer, you know what, if I just had a little bit more money, I won't have to live your miserable existence. What if I had a satisfying career? I'm kind of sick and tired of doing what I'm doing now. The good life will be in doing anything other than what I'm doing. And then they'll reduce it. I just want a satisfying career. By the way, many of these things, they're not evil in and of themselves. The question is, are you saying the good life means this? So I'm going to go. A love from others. Why just somebody else love me? Just love me. Or fame, recognition. Some people say, you know what, the good life is recognition for my skills, my intellect, my tastes, or my talents. Some people might say, I think the good life will be found in marriage, more friends, travel, health, beauty. Solomon, Koheleth, the preacher in Jerusalem, used his wisdom as well as that which God had blessed him with, wiser than any man on earth. Wisdom to try just about anything he wanted to. I'm going to pursue laughter as madness. Mirth, what does that accomplish? So what I did is I used my wisdom and I used my heart and I searched my heart at how to gratify my flesh with intake, with wine. I became a wine sommelier. I tried everything. I wanted to see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their life. So you know what I did? I had the money to do it, so I made my works great. I didn't just build a shed. I built cities. My works were great. Houses, vineyards, gardens, orchards. I planted all kinds of trees. Seasonally, fruitfulness. Seasonally, productivity. I made myself water pools so that I could always irrigate my trees even during the dry months. I acquired people to help me. Servants, male, female, needed a lot of help. Big place, I just acquired. Special treasures, treasures of kings, treasures of provinces. It wasn't just that king had something, but that king's realm had something. I went and acquired it. Whatever my eye looked at, is that the good life? Some people lift their gaze from themselves and look outward. They look elsewhere. And they might look at, the good life is found in caring for the earth on a day and 365 days of the year. It's always Earth Day. Or they'll care for the environment, endangered species, caring for the poor. Remember, these aren't bad things. We're to be stewards of that which the Lord has put before us. We're to care for others. Is that the good life? Is that where you'd start? I'm going to start here or there. Okay, here's a question for you. I've asked you a couple of questions already. Here's another question. I want you all to answer this. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, and I want you to answer, is this a good life? Okay, you know what a eulogy is? A eulogy at a funeral, it literally means good words. You means good or well. Logi comes from logos, good words. So when someone stands at a funeral, they will give a eulogy. Let's reflect upon this person's life. I'd like to share what the Lord did through this person. Eulogy. What I'm going to read to you now is I'm going to ask you, is this a good life? What if this was part of your eulogy? Oh, and by the way, most of the people in the Bible are unnamed. The majority of the people throughout history, if not, we don't know their names. I think that's why Francis Schaeffer, in his little book, No Little People, referred to most of us. So here's the early church. Paul is instructing Timothy. You've got something going on in the early church. And by the way, you've got lists in your church. We have a list in our church called a membership list. People go, I don't see that in the Bible. Well, there are lists all over the Bible. God has a list. He knows it. He doesn't have to check it twice. He knows what's on there. He knows your name. Lamb's Book of Life. In the early church, though, there was a list as well for widows. It's called the widows list. Let me read to you the types of people, the types of widows that would be put on the church's widow's roll. And by the way, it's very discerning. People go, you know what? They're a widow. Just pop them on there. Just, they're a widow. Poof. Remember, the Bible always has the twin tracks of compassion and stewardship. Train's not going to roll. Some people, all compassion, open, yes. Other people, only stewardship. Well, I don't know. Both. Listen. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number or put on the list. You're going to get a list going, Timothy? Start with those age 60. Widows at the age of 60. And by the way, not unless she has been the wife of one man, so she's honored marriage. She has been well reported, that's the Greek word martyr, she has been a testimony of good works, well reported for good works. She's known for good works. Yes. If she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Listen to this. Is that a good life? Don't put anyone on the list unless, you know, they're 60 years of age, they've walked the earth for a while, you've got a track record going on here. They're to be put into the number. Faithful in marriage, or an honorable marriage, at the very least. Known for good works. She raised her children. It says brought up children. You learn so much. Lodge strangers. Wash the saints' feet, which likely is, it shows that she's a very forgiving person. She's a woman of grace. We know what that means. Relieve the afflicted and diligently followed every good work. Now, is that a good life? Would you say, I'd love to hear that eulogy. Yeah. That'd be neat. Is that a good life? Is that the good life? Our psalm today, and I'm only taking the beginning of this psalm today, it's very simple. Our passage today is about the good life. Actually, it's not. Our psalm today is actually about the blessed life. No, actually, it's not about that either. Our psalm today is about blessed people. People who have received the Lord's blessing. We always talk about, what is the good life? It's out there. And the Lord says, you know what? I want to talk to you about the blessed life. Matter of fact, I'm going to talk to you about blessed people. Blessed is everyone, is how the psalm begins. I share. Blessedness. Blessed is everyone. No one can check out right now. No one can go, you know what? This doesn't pertain to me. I'm out of here. No, everyone. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Starts with people. So what's the first point? I'm going to make just a few simple points today about the blessed life, about the blessed people. Here we are. First point is this. You want to understand the good life, the blessed people? Here we are. The good life, blessed people is, first of all, not about you. It's not about you. Blessed is everyone, you say, that's me. No, who fears the Lord? Who walks in His ways? You want to have a blessed life? Fear the Lord. I wonder what that means. Fearing the Lord is not being chummy. It's not going to the negotiating table with the Lord. Lord, if you will do this, then I will do that. By the way, people go, what do you mean by fear? The quick answer is, by fear, the Bible means fear. We all know what fear means. And yes, it means reverence. Yes, it means honor. But I want to talk to you about what you already know. Children in this room, they know what fear is. Matter of fact, those of you who used to be young children, you remember your fears. You know what a fear is? To have fear is to be gripped by something or someone. This was you, and this was fear. It's gripping. To have fear, fear has a claim upon you. To be gripped by, that has a claim upon you. And you know what else fear does? It shapes you. It molds you. I don't know what it means to fear God. Yeah, yes, you do. Has God gripped you? Does He have a claim upon you? Does He shape you? Or do you just go, what, get out of here, it's my way. The blessed life begins with fearing the Lord. Only those are blessed who fear the Lord. The Lord says it this way, blessed is everyone. But we also have to understand, what about those who don't fear the Lord? They're not blessed. They're not blessed. So we ask again, what is this fearing of the Lord? It's actually answered right here. Remember, we're just doing the beginning of this psalm today. And I turn the page. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. And you're saying, okay, I want to know what fearing the Lord means biblically, Pastor Neil. Okay, I get it with the gripping and the claim and the shaping. You know what that's like, little children, when you're scared? You're gripped. We're going to fear the Lord that way. He's in charge. I'm not. What does this mean, though? Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. What does it mean? The answer is given. Who walks in His way. So this, imagine this, and I'm doing this so that even the children can understand. If this step was walking in the Lord's ways, this is what fearing the Lord would look like. I'm going to walk in the Lord's ways. That's what it means. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Walk in His ways. That means I need to know what His ways are. So here's the second point. The blessed life is not about my ways or the highway. The blessed life, the fearing the Lord life, is about His ways. Interesting. I want to share with you a couple of things about the Sabbath. The Sabbath. And I want to share, people are always going, oh, Sabbath, I need to eat, you know, dry top ramen and old water. That's not the way the Sabbath is presented to us in the Bible. The Sabbath is presented to us joyously. First words about the Sabbath commandment is remember. Remember. And now part of that, that's a little bit difficult to do. I think I understand when the Lord says, don't do that. Here the Lord says, remember. It means there are things to consider, things to practice, things to do. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, here's something else about this. The Lord says, take a day off, and we go, no, I'd rather not. If your boss said, take a day off, you'd go, thank you for being so gracious. Lord says, take a day off. It's my day, by the way. And we go, rumble, grumble. Well, the last thing that I just on today just want to talk about, because it fits in with this. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His way. You know what the Lord has done? He gives us one day of the week to shape every day. It's called Sabbath training. Sabbath training. And part of what the Sabbath is training us to do is to say no to yourself and say yes to the Lord. And we're going, I don't want to say yes to the Lord. I want to say yes to me. Listen to the way Isaiah phrases this. Isaiah 58. Just listen. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride upon the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. And we're going, you know what we do? We go, no, I can't trust the Lord that much. It's not a delight. I'd rather do what I want to do. But did you see the training in there? We get a day, instead of doing, I'm going to walk this way and talk this. The Lord says, no, I want you to walk this. I want you to turn your foot from doing what you'd normally do. Do something different. It's a distinctive day. We're trained. We're trained to say no. And parents, children, that's what the parents are trying to do. I'm trying to shape you by saying, no, you need to learn to say no to that and say yes to this. It's a process. All right. There's so much more on this, but I don't want to. I'm going to make it more brief now. But matter of fact, I'll say one thing about the law of God. You know, we had a hymn about the law of God earlier. We tend to think that the law is horrible because it's a restraint. It's telling us what not to do. Well, I just mentioned the fourth commandment to you, which tells us what to do. But here's if I could summarize some of the functions of the law, it's really simple in one sense. You know what the law of God does? It convicts you. It says, quit it. It counsels you and says, do this. And it's always pointing you to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is our Savior. There it is. Convicts you, counsels you, and points you to Christ. There it is. Okay, there we are. The blessed life, blessed people. This is not about me. It's about the Lord. What does that mean? It means we fear the Lord, we walk in His ways. Third, the good life, the blessed life, the blessed people, everyone is blessed. And here's the third point. It's an active life. It's an active life. The passage goes on. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. And people go, I want things to be well with you. Fear God, walk in His ways, and that way when you go and eat the labor of your hands, you're going to be happy. Simple point. This doesn't just happen. This labor doesn't just fall into your lap or onto your plate. You can't just pull up to the table, put the plate out there, and wait for the bagel to land on your plate or the stew on your bowl. The blessed life is a walking life. It's an active life. It's moving. It's not lethargic. And let me share with you how the Psalms present this. The first Psalm, Psalm 1, says, blessed is the man who does not do certain things. Yeah, that's part of life. Sometimes you need to be told, quit it. That's what the law does. You're wrong. Quit it. Other times, the law of God says, do this. Psalm 1, blessed life, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't want the constant earworms and people pumping foolishness into his life, into his soul. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He says, that's ungodly. I don't want to walk in that. I don't want them teaching me. Done. Nor does he stand in the path of sinners. He doesn't go find a path where a bunch of sinners are going by and say, you know what, I'm going to stand there, hitchhike, and just wait. Hey, you spare a ride there? Nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. He doesn't take a position. Note, it's getting more settled. He doesn't just sit in the seat of the scornful. Because what happens, people start mocking this. You know what, that stuff with fearing the God, blessed life, that's ridiculous. Because you've taken bad counsel, you started looking for other people to give you a ride, and what do you end up doing? You end up sitting down. So here's our little chair again. Remember, it's still here from a few weeks ago. You don't want to sit in that chair. That Psalm 1 says the blessed life does not do that. This psalm says, you know what the blessed life does? The blessed life walks in the ways of the Lord. Do you realize how this opens things up for everyone? What's the Lord say? You know what else? The blessed life that fears the Lord is a active life. It's a life of labor. I love the way Spurgeon phrased this. Listen to this. He says, we are not promised a blessing upon romantic idleness or unreasonable dreaming, but upon hard work and honest industry. Though we are in God's hands, we are to be supported by our own hands. He will give us daily bread, but it must be made by our own labor. It's a blessed life. What's the good life? What's the blessed life? Well, let me come in for a landing on this. You know, it's not about you. It's about fearing the Lord, walking in His ways, and it's an active life. It is not a thumb twiddling or just waiting. You know what? Today we're going to watch our fingernails grow. Just wait. There's an activity. There's labor. And it's beautiful. The Lord says, get about it. You want to be happy? Lord says, you want to be. This is what you need to do. Now you see part of the heritage that is ours in the Christian faith. This is not works unto salvation. These are the works of the righteous. These are the works of the blessed. So what happens? There is a blessedness in eating when it is the fruit of faithful labor. You know, if you didn't work for it, you're sitting there going, this tastes horrible. Ugh. You get out there and you work, you're tired, you come home, you're going to have a meal. It's a gift from God. Being tired is a reality, and it is a fine reality. What is not fine is griping about it and being a whiner. Once the griping is present, once you've opened the door, I'm going to let the griping out. Rawr. The labor which produced the weariness is no longer considered a gift or a blessing. But you then consider the labor as a curse. So let's conclude. We're called to be fearful. When we are fearful, the Lord promises fruitfulness. There's the title of the sermon. Fearful and fruitful, and then you don't have to be concerned about the future. Do not expect a lovely home. Do not expect a lovely home if you do not fear the Lord. Do not expect happy children if you do not fear the Lord. Psalm 112, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. Do not expect blessings, the blessings, if the Lord is not first. So where does this start? You want a blessed life? You want the good life? You want to be a blessed person? You want a fruitful wife? And Spurgeon says, yeah, it's fruitfulness with regard to children, and kindness, and stewardship, and affection. You want a fruitful wife and happy children? It starts with fearing the Lord, walking in His ways. And all of a sudden, your wife is even more beautiful for your eyes. And your children are happy. And note what the Scripture says. It doesn't say that your children are little sprouts or sprigs. It says they're olive plants. Plants. So, the fear of the Lord? Love the Lord's correction. Love the Lord's guidance. And love the fact that He's constantly pointing you to Jesus Christ. And have blessed lives. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said, amen.